Good afternoon, bonjour tout le monde. PINA is a Filipino women's organization in Quebec that was created in 1991 in response to the need to organize and empower Filipino women in Montreal and Quebec. It was founded by Filipino women based on their concerns and struggles under the Leave-In Caregiver program. Most of the members are domestic helpers. Since 1991, it has brought Filipino women workers and their supporters together in their struggle for their basic rights and welfare in Canada. More than anything, the history of the Philippines is the history of the Filipino people and their courageous struggle against foreign and local exploitation and oppression. Presently, the LCP, or the Live-In Caregiver Program, is one of the federal government's program in line with Citizenship Immigration Canada. It pulls women from underdeveloped countries to work as domestic workers for wealthy Canadian families. Rather than providing national daycare, Canada profits from the backs of women of color who must cook, clean, and take care of their children or the elderly for meager wages, a job that no other Canadian worker would do. I'm sure that you've all heard and read about how economic globalization will supposedly bring prosperity and magic throughout the world, especially in underdeveloped countries. However, it has just done the opposite. Under globalization, imperialist nations have just paved the way to the exploitation of the rich natural resources of those countries, such as my country, the Philippines, through profit-oriented policies. The impact of these policies has not alleviated the poverty of the majority of the world's population, but has only intensified their exploitation and oppression. These types of policies have been embedded since the time of our first colonizers in the 16th century. Spain was one of the first colonizers of the Philippines, and they subjugated the Philippines for the procurement of our rich natural resources, such as gold and other valuable metals. The Philippines was also a perfect outpost for commerce with China and other neighboring areas. Over 300 years of Spanish rule, only to be followed by the colonial rule of U.S. imperialism. Rather than giving in to the Filipino revolutionaries, Spain has signed with the U.S. secretary turning over the Philippines in exchange for U.S. $20 million. In their bloody conquest over the Filipinos, the U.S. committed atrocious acts of genocide against the people in its war of aggression. Over 250,000 Filipino civilians were also killed directly or indirectly as a result of the fighting, apart from the Filipino soldiers. And as a trophy for their conquest, one of the church bells in the province of Samar was confiscated and returned to the U.S. Archived photos of U.S. soldiers posing proudly atop a mountain full of skeletons and bones can also be seen in one of the progressive Filipino documentaries. Then came the occupation of the Japanese during World War II, which also had the heroic struggles of the Filipino people together with the nationalist guerrillas, which broke the backbone of the Japanese aggressors. At this point in time came the return of the U.S. to the Philippines. They supposedly liberated the Filipino people from the hands of the Japanese. On July 4, 1946, the U.S. granted the Philippines fake independence and installed puppet presidents to sit for them in order to continue to control the Philippines. It dictated agreements which gave its rights to continue to maintain military bases and troops stationed in our country, to own and expand its investments here, and to continue to interfere in the affairs of puppet government and armed forces. In establishing the puppet republic, Philippine society became semi-colonial and semi-feudal. No longer controlled by U.S. colonizer, and no longer tilling for the subsistence of its people, but tilling for the profitable export of cash crops to other countries. In essence, this society remains until today. The Filipino people continue to suffer under the intense exploitation and oppression of U.S. imperialism. Women and children in the Philippines are the hardest hit, especially from the poor sectors of society. Facing class oppression, women are doubly oppressed by gender discrimination. Women are in subordinate positions and are also held responsible for reproductive work, the replenishment of labor, and all the related housework. When many men lose their jobs, many women have become more and more responsible for the economic survival of their families. Aside from their expected roles as caregivers and housekeepers, many find menial jobs as street vendors, laundry, and maids, no longer as a supplement to the family income, but as the main source of income holder in the Philippines. Obviously, this would not be enough in the Philippines. Thousands and thousands of women are forced to leave their country to find jobs abroad, thus giving birth to the migration of many women. The massive conversion of agricultural lands in the Philippines, bought by foreign monopoly corporations into commercial and tourism areas, has pushed peasants' women to be displaced from their lands and from the productive processes and their livelihood. These lands became owned by companies such as Dole and Del Monte, which export their cash crops around the world. But as these peasant women and their families are displaced from their lands, many head towards urban cities in hopes of finding jobs. However, when there are no jobs to find in the cities, thousands of women are forced to seek employment abroad. This crisis of poverty, landlessness, and unemployment forces more than 2,000 Filipinos to leave the country every day to seek employment in foreign lands. It is estimated about 8 to 1 million Filipino workers are around the world, and 70% of these Filipinos are women, and they are scattered in 169 countries all over the world. The majority of them are domestic workers, and here in Montreal and in Canada, 90% of live-in caregivers are Filipino women. What is often not mentioned is the fact that these women are basically being legally and systematically trafficked abroad by the Philippine government as cheap labor. And in turn, the Canadian government accepts them with open arms. In the LCP, domestic workers earn lower than the other Canadian government workers. They work more than 40 hours, sometimes 60 to 70 hours. Trafficking of women not only includes prostitution, but also the trafficking of women for their cheap labor. More readily seen are the women and children that are forced into prostitution. In this time of worsening world economic crisis, the commodification of women and children proves to be a lucrative business. In the year 2000, the global sex trade was valued at US$17 billion. There is an estimate of about 25,000 to 35,000 Filipinas being trafficked each year throughout the world. Filipinas account for half of the Southeast Asian women trafficked annually. An estimated 200,000 Filipinas are in the overseas sex trade. Canada today is fast becoming a haven for the business of mail order brides, as illustrated by ads placed by agencies seducing lonely Canadian men to go on their fantasy vacation to the Philippines and meet women of their dreams. Just look into the thousands of websites claiming the same and have your credit cards ready. Also, with the US eyeing the Philippines as one of the launching pads in the global war on terrorism, more and more American soldiers are being deployed to the Philippines. There's now a real push for the return of permanent US bases which were effectively kicked out of our country in the early 90s. We see in our analysis that the impact of globalization on Filipino women is displacement from their lands, commodification, and modern-day slavery, as well as the phenomenon of feminization of migration. During the 80s and 90s, as more and more Filipino women are burdened with the responsibility to provide for their families, For Pinay here in Quebec, we never forget we are in another country. Our lives here are still very much connected in the Philippines. We are contributing towards fighting against one of the many impacts of globalization, and we're not alone. We are part of the women's movement in the Philippines, as well as the progressive movement of Filipinos overseas. And we are also part of the women's of diverse ethnic origins here in Canada, in Montreal. We also know that we are a developing nation before the time of our colonizers, with our abundance of rich natural resources that could easily sustain several times the present population of the Filipino people. But we saw now that that was quickly taken away to benefit a few rich people while the majority suffer. But we saw now that that was quickly taken away, and as our national independence, supposedly July 4, is fast approaching, we see on global scale a resemblance in establishment of a new democratic government in Iraq. We ask our Filipino people and we ask you, are we really independent? Maraming salamat po. Thank you very much.